Okay, André, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Perfect. So you have listened to everything that we've been told by Senor Ortega.
Yes, I've been listening to everything.
What is your picture of the situation?
Oh, unfortunately, my picture is very similar
to
that one that offered Luis de Miguel Ortega. Mm-hmm. Just like an example, today here where I live in Ibiza Island, today there is a public demonstration by car, people rolling around the city. And the two first points they ask about is very fast and for everybody vaccine.
Oh, man.
And please to do a PCR test to everybody getting into the island or getting into Balearic Islands, even if you are local or if you are foreign or if you are from the main island from Spain. So this is the really bad consciousness about the really big problem we have, really bad. I'm trying to connect with this, because this public demonstration is convoked by the employers and people from the restaurants, people, working people here in the island. So they think for the survival, for the to get the economic situation survive, they need everybody's vaccinated and everybody doing PCR tests. So they didn't understand what is really happening, in my opinion. And another little point, just in the same way that the lawyer Luis de Miguel Ortega said, for example, here in Spain, when you had so big a public demonstration in Berlin, even we know from alternative information, even the police from Berlin said 1,300,000 people, isn't it?
It was 1.3 million, that's what some people say, but of course the mainstream media say it's 17,000 people.
Yes, but if, I think somebody gave me the information, 1.3 million from the police.
That's one of the numbers that even the police were using, yes.
Yes. Here in Spain, all the mass media, all the televisions said between 17 and 20,000 people. So these really big pictures, millions of people, and they said these ridiculous numbers. So it's a bad situation. Recently, our government published in the Boletín Oficial del Estado, the newspaper official from the government, they are going to give 113 million euros to the televisions, to the mass media, to public the official information. So they are just covering the mouth of the mass media. We have a really big problem here.
And who owns the mass media who owns the mass media in Spain? Is this all one company or like five companies?
The same five companies and in all the rest of the world.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, we have to translate this. Also, André Ruiz ist Arzt und er lebt auf Ibiza. Und er sagt, ja, die Situation entspricht tatsächlich derjenigen, die wir eben von dem Rechtsanwalt Ortega gehört haben. Sei schon ziemlich schlecht. Heute Morgen hat es eine Demonstration gegeben, einen Autokorso. Ich dachte schon, ui, da sind ja doch ein paar andere Leute unterwegs. Aber nein, die demonstrieren dafür, dass so schnell wie möglich alle Leute geimpft werden und so schnell wie möglich ganz viele Tests durchgeführt werden, auch für Leute, die besuchen. Das dürfte dann ja wohl den Tourismus endgültig erledigen. Aren't they worried about if they make everybody, if they force everyone who wants to come to the island to first get a test, aren't they worried that that's going to kill tourism?
They think this is the way to preserve tourism.
Aha.
So if the people when came here, you are sure, completely sure they are healthy. Mm-hmm. If you are not healthy, you are kept in a hospital or the hotel or at home. So this is the way they think for the tourism to survive. Incredible.
And how many infected or dead people do you have now in Spain, and how is the prevalence in Ibiza?
I'm not very good with the numbers, but even in the worst moment, when the lockdown of all Spain was imposed here, in Ibiza, very, very few cases. Mm-hmm. In any cases, no reason for lockdown. Even in Formentera, I was working in the Formentera hospital until mm-hmm. I was punished just for talking about this situation.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. I am suspended or punished since the June the 23rd, just about talking. They open a procedure to stop me in my job. I'm not working officially mm-hmm. in this moment since June the 23rd. So in this moment, we have one or two people. Even I knew the woman, a very old woman with a quarter of lung, with lung fibrosis. Mm-hmm. So one lung, nothing, another little bit. So even a blow could kill this poor woman. Mm-hmm. So one or two people dead, they imposed the lockdown in all Spain.
So you don't have cases. You may have some people who tested positive, but there's nothing that tells you that they're real cases.
In that moment, you mean? In the beginning of the lockdown?
Yeah, or in general. What about the situation on the island of Ibiza?
Oh, I think the information is so crazy that I saw very long lines of people waiting to do PCR. So healthy people waiting. Oh, yeah. So this was the perfect situation. There is brote. Accumulated cases to justify, to make reason for the lockdown, for the restrictions. You cannot go to the other little city from Ibiza. Mm. It's partial lockdowns, very common here.
Okay, I'll translate. Also ich habe ihn gefragt, ob die Leute sich keine Gedanken darüber machen, ob wenn man jeden, der auf die Insel kommen will, erst einem PCR-Test unterzieht, ob das nicht dazu führt, dass dann gar keiner mehr kommt, weil, das habe ich jetzt nicht gefragt, aber es gibt ja eine Menge Leute, die hier aus Deutschland und aber auch aus anderen Ländern inzwischen Urlaub machen in Sansibar oder Tansania, weil da nämlich die Krise längst erledigt ist. Und er sagt, nee, die Leute glauben, dass tatsächlich überhaupt erst durch die Tests und durch die Impfung der Tourismus wieder in Gang kommen wird. Er selbst hat auf Formentera gearbeitet und hat sich kritisch geäußert, hat Fragen gestellt zu dieser Politik und zu den Hintergründen. Und er hat sowas wie ein Berufsverbot. Genau habe ich es nicht verstanden, aber es muss wohl was sein wie ein Berufsverbot.
Also
er darf jetzt nicht mehr als Arzt arbeiten.
Es gab noch zwei Punkte, die er gesagt hat, dass die zwei Patienten, die ihm persönlich bekannt waren auf der Insel da, dass davon eines eine sehr, sehr alte Frau war, die irgendeine Lungenfibrose oder sowas hatte und jedenfalls nur noch mit einem ganz, ganz kleinen Teil von ihrer Lunge überhaupt noch nur atmen konnte, weshalb also auch ein Windstoß sie schon hätte umblasen können. Und eine andere wichtige Information war auch noch, dass er meinte, die Regierung hat jetzt wohl 100 Millionen Euro an verschiedene Medien, also Massenmedien, ausgezahlt, um im Prinzip, wie er das deutet, quasi die auf Linie zu bringen, dass sie in diesem Sinne berichten. Und er meinte, dass die Magazine eben auch in der Hand von, er meinte den fünf bekannten Firmen, also ich weiß nicht genau, welche das jetzt sind, aber die, also die man sonst so kennt, auch in fester Hand sein.
So, do you think that it's the basically the propaganda that is being administered through the mainstream media that is keeping people in line? Is that the tool that makes people not ask any questions but simply believe what the government tells them?
Yes, of course. I think in this moment, mass media are not the fifth power, as mm-hmm. we heard a long time ago. I think this is the first power. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, even in my family, a cousin, a very intelligent doctor, very happy to get the vaccine, or even it's a crazy situation. Most of doctors are not aware about what is happening. Mm-hmm. Most of my colleagues received the vaccine. Maybe I didn't do any statistic, but maybe a part just believe what is this very helpful, the vaccine. And some of them put the vaccine because, okay, I'm from Cuba, I have to travel to visit my mother, so I will need the vaccine. Or yes, because if I don't put the vaccine, the rest of the colleagues are going to look at me in a bad way, or to protect the others. But did you really investigate what is this vaccine? What could you happen in your immune system in the short cure? No, it's a crazy situation, not only from the people, even from the medical system. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Yeah, but so, isn't it, I mean, I'm a lawyer, and I've never done anything else. But I mean, while I was still in law school, I had other jobs. I worked as a bartender. I was a windsurfing instructor. But basically, all my life I've been a lawyer. And for the first, let's say, 10 or 15 years or so, I specialized in medical law. And the one thing I do remember, because I think everybody knows it, is that for the development of a new drug, in particular for the development of a new vaccine, it takes years. It takes 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And in some cases, you never come up with a vaccine. Don't doctors know this? I mean, do they not question the fact that all of a sudden, overnight, within months, maybe 10, 12 months, you have a so-called vaccine, which in the United States is not really admitted because it's only got this emergency use admission. Only emergency use. And here in Europe, it is European Commission which admitted it, but only, or those three vaccines in the meantime, which are not vaccines, as we all know, but it's only a contingent admission. Don't doctors worry about this? Obviously not.
No. I think you lawyers are going to have a big quantity of job. Mm-hmm. Very soon, yeah. Because
yeah.
I think when politicians or people from the local governments are talking, yes, everybody has to get the vaccine, and they are not doctors. And in few time, we will know the people who are dying about this or mm-hmm. having very severe secondary effects. They are going to be put into the judge because they are giving medical advice. Mm-hmm. But much worse than this, the official medical college encouraging people to get the vaccines and not giving the complete information. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what you said. This is an emergency license. This is not a completely tested and approved vaccine.
Yeah, this is emergency approval. Emergency approval in the United States and conditional approval in Europe.
Yes,
but apparently even doctors don't, in Spain at least, don't really care. I mean, in many parts of this of the world, in fact, not just in Germany, in the United States, in Canada and other countries as well, Italy, for example, in many countries, people really do worry. Doctors, in many cases, don't. That is, I shouldn't be so surprised, because we have a lot of doctors. We have many doctors who apparently, during their education, have not learned to ask questions, because all they have to do is learn by heart, fill in multiple choice tests. So maybe that explains some part of the story. But there are still enough doctors who are ringing the alarm bells and explaining to us, professors of medicine and all kinds of scientists who are trying to explain to us how dangerous it is to work with these so-called vaccines when they're not even vaccines. They're only made into vaccines because they're being injected. If they weren't injected, this would be considered, under European law, this would be considered a genetic experiment. But people do not seem to worry about that in Spain. Is that only because of the mainstream media's propaganda?
I think this is the main reason, but the society is I think this is happening in all around the world. It's like divided in two groups. Mm-hmm. People believing the official point of view, mm-hmm. and we're very, at least in Spain, small group of people that were, yes, we are being aware about what is happening. Mm-hmm. And this
small,
is part
small
of
small group of people. What do you think? How much is that? Is that 1%, 2% of the population, or even less?
No, I think it's a little more. It's uh-huh. very difficult to know. Very difficult because, as I told you, the government is paying this, the biggest mm-hmm. social media. And as well, they did a new minister called, mm-hmm. I don't know the official name, but locally we call Ministerio de la Verdad, Truth mm-hmm. Minister.
Yeah.
So they are in charge to select the bad information or to put into the law, and they pay for neutral and maldita different platforms, internet platforms, just to explain this is not true. They are telling the vaccine is dangerous. This is not true. They did. So they are doing a really good job to mm-hmm. to stop the truth.
Da ist das Hauptproblem. That seems to be the major problem. And let me explain this in German. Also, ich habe ihn gefragt, ob nicht wenigstens die Ärzte, und dann fiel mir ein, dass die Ärzte ja eigentlich die unkritischsten sind, obwohl wir hier inzwischen schon einige haben, die das etwas anders sehen. Aber, und zwar wegen ihrer Ausbildung, weil sie eben nicht lernen, kritisch zu hinterfragen, sondern nur auswendig lernen, Multiple-Choice-Tests und so. Ob nicht wenigstens die Ärzte auf die Barrikaden sehen und gehen und Fragen stellen, weil wir ja wissen, dass diese Vaccines, die keine sind, aus dem Boden gestampft wurden und üblicherweise dauert das Jahre. Wie kann das sein, dass etwas, was normalerweise im Schnitt 6, 7, 8 Jahre dauert, innerhalb von 10, 12 Monaten über die Bühne geht und das dann auch noch nur mit einer Notfallzulassung, Emergency Use Authorization, EUA heißt das in den USA, oder bei uns in Europa eine bedingte Zulassung, Conditional Authorization. Wie kann das sein? Er sagt, nee, das sind die Mainstream-Medien, die überwiegend dafür sorgen, dass die Leute auf Linie bleiben. Es würde sich weltweit eine gespaltene Gesellschaft entwickeln, aber in Spanien sei diese Spaltung so, dass eben nur sehr wenige, wie viel weiß er auch nicht, ich habe gefragt, sind es 1%, 2% oder weniger, aber er sagt, es sind schon mehr, aber es ist eine gespaltene Gesellschaft, die in Spanien eine Spaltung hat, die wohl vielleicht, maybe it's 4 or 5%, but probably not anymore, right, in Spain, of people who are critical of what's going on.
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
The question is, I asked you, is it 1 or 2% of the population that is asking questions that is critical of the measures, or is it less? You said it's probably a little more, but it's hard to tell.
It's very difficult, but I think it's a little more. In this moment, what I really would like most is to get to the associations of employers or autonomous, we call the people, owner of the restaurants and so on, trying to explain if we don't do something, they are going to lose everything.
Exactly.
This is one thing. And the other thing, I would like to go on with a newspaper that you had in, I remember Dr. Heiko Schunin show us this newspaper free. You have 5, I think, I don't remember the 500,000 units every week, free, you have.
That may have been demokratischer Widerstand, democratic resistance.
That's we need something like this free in Spain. Yeah. We have to ask about economical support to inform the people, because it's very difficult. If the people is not informed, they don't have the reality is very difficult to take actions.
The reason I'm asking this question is because in many countries the situation is completely different. Like, for example, here in Germany, we believe, and we don't, of course, we don't trust the mainstream media. That's why we have a very large group of alternative media, which we call the independent media, as opposed to the old media, which are not independent, but they're owned by large corporations, and they're not journalists who work for these old media. But in this country, we would estimate that between 10, we have about between that's what we talked about yesterday, between 10 and 20% of the people who are not just asking questions, but who are highly critical of what's going on.
I think it's much more.
It may be even much more than that. In the United States, there's at least 50% of the people who do not go along with these measures. And many of them are armed to their teeth. And in many other countries, the situation is similar. Not as far as the as far as the guns is controlled, but it's quite different from what you have in Spain. So what you need is probably you need support from other countries and information from other countries, because that's what Jens Biermann, who did the translation for our interview of Senor Ortega, said. It seems like Spaniards are looking to other countries, maybe even to Germany, for a direction in this fight.
Maybe. I think more people is critical with some aspects of this crisis. For example, mm-hmm. about the measures the government. Maybe many people believe this is not a natural situation. Mm-hmm. Or have some doubts. And definitely they know the government is giving lies, is lying about many things. I think most of the people think like this. But at the same time, they integrate the message there is a very dangerous virus mm-hmm. and we must be protected. Yes. So even they are critical with some aspects of the political mm-hmm. message, the main things they integrate about the perigosity, the dangerous situation of the virus, and the goodness of the vaccine. This is
Schizophrenic situation. On the one hand, people are asking questions. On the other hand, they still believe that this is a dangerous situation and that only vaccines can solve it. Right? It's very strange. Because if you begin to ask questions about the very measures that you have to take, why do you take these measures? That's weird. You know what? We're going to have to ask some psychiatrists and psychologists about this. Because as we all know in the meantime, because we heard a former vice president of Pfizer. Pfizer is the vaccine maker, BioNTech Pfizer vaccine. And he explained to us that there is actually, at the very beginning of all of these anti-corona measures, which were all leading in the direction of vaccines, every little step was designed to get us used, to make us follow orders. We were actually told to not question anything. And every little step was designed to make us take the vaccines and accept the vaccines, which is not happening right now. But he also explained to us that how this happened is through very precise psychological operations, because that is an integral part of this whole movement. We needed, or the other side needed to, because there are not very many people on the other side, and there's so many of us, they needed to get us under control through psychology, mass hypnosis. So I think we're going to have to take a much closer look at that side of the picture. But I'm very glad that even in Spain, there's people like you who do not bend their knee and who do not simply go along. So I just hope you're going to continue your work. The question is, how do you make a living now? I mean, you can't work as a doctor. How do you survive?
I have a very simple way of life. I'm living in the country mm-hmm. with my own vegetable garden. Sometimes I attend some private consultations about with homeopathy or with natural medicines I used as well many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. But really speaking, it's a critical situation for me from the economical point of view. Mm-hmm. And after some interviews, a few people ask about helping me, and I open a PayPal number account. Mm-hmm. And I receive not big, but little quantities of money just to pay my own lawyers because I had to defend myself from this punishment I received from the Social Security of Balearic Islands. Mm-hmm. So this is the situation. And I agree with what you were talking about. This is not just a biological war. This is mainly a psychological war.
Exactly.
The main weapon they have. Mm.
Ja, also, let me sum this up. Also, ich habe nochmal nachgefragt, wie kann das eigentlich sein, dass in einigen Ländern, wie zum Beispiel in den USA, die Spaltung der Gesellschaft wirklich da ist, weil bestimmt 50%, weiß ich aus eigener Erfahrung, aus der Gegend, wo wir wohnen, 50% der Bevölkerung gegen die Maßnahmen ist, möglicherweise sogar inzwischen viel, viel mehr. Sieht man auch daran, dass inzwischen 16 Staaten wieder aufmachen. Wahrscheinlich sind auch das jetzt inzwischen mehr geworden. Wie kann das sein, dass es dann in Ländern wie Spanien, auch bei uns sind es wahrscheinlich 20, 30, Viviane sagt, noch mehr Prozent, glaube ich eigentlich auch. Wie kann das eigentlich sein, dass es dann in Ländern wie Spanien so einen schwachen Widerstand gibt? Und er sagt, ja, das hat wohl überwiegend was damit zu tun, dass die Mainstream-Medien eben immer den gleichen Text singen und die Leute bereit sind, das mitzuspielen. Wenngleich, sagt er auch, schon eine Menge Leute Misstrauen haben, aber wahrscheinlich ist man das gewohnt in so einem Land, wo man sowieso die ganzen Jahre über verarscht worden ist, in Anführungsstrichen, misstrauisch sind, aber gleichzeitig glauben sie auch, und das ist so ein bisschen schizophren, gleichzeitig glauben sie auch, sie brauchen diese Impfung, weil sie glauben diesem Mainstream-Medium, was das angeht, und ansonsten haben sie eben große Fragen. Ich habe ihn dann noch gefragt, wovon lebt er denn eigentlich, wenn er jetzt gar nicht mehr als Arzt arbeiten darf? Und er sagt, er hat einen relativ einfachen Lebensstil, er hat seinen eigenen Gemüsegarten und er macht schon noch Konsultationen, auch als Arzt, wenn es um alternative Heilmethoden geht. Und hat außerdem ein Spendenkonto, wo ein bisschen Geld reingekommen ist, weil er auch noch seinen Anwalt bezahlen muss. Also, aber insgesamt ist er jedenfalls doch durchaus jemand, der kämpft. Und ja, wer nicht kämpft, kann nicht verlieren. Wer kämpft, kann nicht verlieren.
Wer kämpft, kann nicht verlieren, ist super. Mhm. Wer nicht kämpft, hat schon verloren. I have one more question. So in the beginning, there was also similar to Italy, a lot of horror stories from the hospitals and, you know, like with that there were no capacities and like terrible things going on. And from Italy, we learned that there was a lot of mistreatment, you know, like malpractice going on, you know, like the wrong medication and like too early at the put onto the respirators and all these kind of things. And would you think, and in Italy, it was actually also like, you know, there were instructions coming down from the government saying you have to follow these rules, like by treating the patients. And is that a comparable situation? Was that in Spain? What was that like?
Was there also malpractice?
And a lot of financial incentives also, maybe, like for...
Yeah, here in Germany and in Italy and in other countries as well, we have very, very concrete evidence, sometimes even written evidence, documentary evidence, which proves that there are very strong financial incentives. This is all about bribes. Doctors, individual doctors, and hospitals are being paid more or less money in order to change, for example, a diagnosis, in order to falsify death certificates, etc., etc. Do we have a similar situation in Spain, or do you not know anything about this?
Yes, of course, we know many things. First of all, to create this critical situation, all the primary sanitary system was closed. Mm-hmm. So everything, emergencies had to go to the hospitals. At the same time, the officiality, the government said, do not go to the hospital if you don't have a very severe case. So it was like a very narrow way to go to the hospital. So the hospitals were, it happens every year with flu, with normal flu. Mm-hmm. We have many, many documents from previous years with flu station, and all the hospitals are completely full. This is one thing. And the economical question as well, they pay about every test made about every positive test, about every hospitalization, and about even 43,000 euros for every people in the intensive care units. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy, the corruption. Mm-hmm. If I had, for example, a private hospital, and I'm attending a people with an infarction, mm-hmm. and maybe these people die, okay, I am not damaging these people, but if I did a PCR test and I put positive, 43,000 euros, it's very easy. We have to be very, very, very honest to do not falsificate. I cannot say these people do that. I only say that it was incentivated with more money, mm-hmm. and it's very easy to be corrupted about this. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. The funny thing is that those people who are getting bribed probably do not understand that very soon the people who are bribing them will take away their money by instituting a brand new monetary system of digital money. But that's another story. Also er sagte, die auch da gibt es große finanzielle Incentives. Also ich kann es nicht so ganz glauben, aber
43.000 für jeden in der Intensivstation.
Ja, für jeden in der Intensivstation, der auch wegen Corona auf die Intensivstation kommt. Andererseits, wir haben ähnliche Zahlen gehört. Aus den USA wissen wir, dass die Leute, die normal in Anführungsstrichen behandelt werden, 13.000 Dollar einbringen. Und wenn man dann jemanden intubieren lässt, also beatmen lässt, dann ist man bei 39.000 Dollar. Hat zwar auch gleichzeitig in der Hälfte der Fälle den Mann dann auf dem Gewissen oder die Frau, aber das scheint ja keine große Rolle zu spielen, wenn es um Geld geht. Also auch hier, nach Einschätzung von Angel Ruiz, ist es so, dass hier Bribery eine große Rolle spielt und damit natürlich auch die Fallzahlen verdreht werden. Ja.
Und was hat er jetzt noch gesagt am Anfang zu dem, dass die... Ach so, er hatte gesagt, dass es auch so sei, dass in Spanien sowieso in der Grippesaison immer die Krankenhäuser ziemlich voll sind, also ähnlich wie in, was wir aus Italien wissen.
Und auch von uns her wissen. Ne?
Und auch von uns wissen, wobei es, glaube ich, nie zu so einem Engpass gekommen ist, jetzt in Vorjahren.
Also, nee, aber es gibt die Berichte. Wir haben diese Berichte gehabt seit 2013, 14, 15, da haben wir doch immer wieder diese ganzen Bilder gesehen. Es gibt diese Collage im Internet von Fotos, von Zeitungsberichten, wo immer die Flure voll sind und oh mein Gott, wir werden überfordert. We have had the same situation for years. There's old pictures from old newspaper articles, an entire collage of newspaper articles that can be seen on the internet, that even in 2013, 14, 15, 16, every year during the flu season, it looked as though the hospital system was being overwhelmed. It never was, but there were always very alarming newspaper reports. Maybe they were just trying to get us to get us ready for this pandemic. Who knows? I don't trust anyone anymore. But so basically, you are trying to get people to ask critical questions and to get better information. Is there anything else that you can do, or do you have allies who help you in this? I'm not going to say quest for justice, but in this search for real information and for educating the people.
Mainly, I'm very, very grateful with all the good job you are doing. We need this. I offer myself if you need some concrete details to give it to you. I have some doubts because I think the situation was not exactly the same in every country. Talking with Dr. Heiko Schoening, he told me you didn't have much more mortality than usual in the flu season. Mm-hmm. But we did have more mortality. And here it was very, very clear the people who died mainly was that one who received the previous flu vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Same in Italy, by the way. That so may have damaged the immune system.
Yes, mm-hmm. Probably when something, this biological weapon or anything, contact with these very old people, by then the crisis and they died. This is maybe a difference from some countries, maybe Spain and Italy, not in Germany. And I don't know. I think the lawyer Luis de Miguel Ortega didn't tell you. He told you we are living like in a dictatorship. We are all censored in our opinions. We are just depreciated this is just negacionista in Spain or anti-vaccine.
Same here.
The title.
We have the same problem here. Except here's too many of us to simply say they're all right-wing, anti-Jewish, whatever. There's too many. And you cannot, and people don't believe this anymore.
This is part of the strategy. And now we have a new big problem is that they are trying to put everything this legal. We have 15 independent communities in Spain, Catalonia, Balearic Island, Madrid. So in two of them, Galicia and Aragon, they just approved a new health law talking about mandatory treatments, mandatory vaccines. You can be put in a special place. So we call these laws Auschwitz laws. Just to shock to the people, we are very near to get into a very, very bad situation. Sorry, I think I stopped the image. Can you listen to me?
Yeah, I can still hear you. We have heard about this. I couldn't quite believe it. And let me just quickly translate this. Also sagt, genauso wie hier auch, werden Kritiker einfach nur deshalb, weil sie eine andere Meinung haben, verleumdet, verunglimpft, als Impfgegner bezeichnet, auch wenn sie vielleicht gar nichts gegen Impfung haben, sondern nur in diesem Fall Fragen stellen. Es ist wohl auch so, sagt er gerade, in zwei der, wir würden das als Länder bezeichnen, in Galizien und irgendein anderes war das, Aragon, genau. Da gibt es wohl langsam Gesetze zur Impfpflicht, was ja äußerst schwierig ist. Und er sagt, es wird also schon dramatisch die Schraube weiter angezogen. Aber er kommt irgendwie durch und er kämpft natürlich weiter. Und er sagt auch, er ist froh darüber, dass es eben dann wenigstens in anderen Teilen der Welt, hier zum Beispiel, solche Aktionen gibt, solche Bewegungen gibt, wie es sie eben hier gibt. Und wir werden ja immer größer. Die unabhängigen Medien werden immer mehr. Und deswegen müssen wir den Leuten in Spanien, ich habe lange, 14 Jahre haben wir in unserem Haus auf Mallorca gelebt. Also ich mag die Leute wirklich gerne. Wir müssen den Leuten einfach helfen, indem wir das tun, was wir eben tun können. Und ihnen zeigen, das könnt ihr auch tun. Und wenn die Wahrheit rauskommt mit der Arbeit, die wir tun, mit der Arbeit, die CHD tun, mit der Arbeit, die Dr. Renate Holzeisen tut und Jean-Luc Duhamel und die anderen alle Kanadier, dann, das hat er auch vorhin gesagt, dann werden wir sehr viele Anwälte brauchen. Mal gucken, ob die dann alle aus ihren Felslöchern rausgekrochen kommen, die sich im Moment verstecken. Aber gut, jetzt haben wir ihn auch noch verloren. Herr Biermann, sind Sie noch da?
Ich bin noch da. Ja,
okay.
Ja,
ich glaube, wir haben den Kollegen, den Angel, gerade verloren.
Sieht so aus, ja.
Aber wir sind auch sozusagen am Ende gewesen. Ich finde das klasse, dass der Mann einfach die Nerven behält und vor allem seine Würde behält und sich nicht in die Knie zwingen lässt. Wir haben jetzt noch jemanden, hatten Sie uns angekündigt, das ist ein Polizist. Und zwar der Gründer, wie heißt das?
Ich habe es vorhin falsch angekündigt. Es ist also nicht die Polizei für die Wahrheit, sondern die Polizei für die Freiheit.
Policías por la Libertad. Genau.
Genau. Da haben wir jetzt den Juan Manuel Ramos Mateo. Der ist in Spanien allgemein bekannt als Mateo.
Ja.
59 Jahre, seit 34 Jahren in der örtlichen Polizei. Es gibt ja drei Stufen. Die örtliche Polizei, die nationale und die Guardia Civil. Also er ist ein örtlicher Polizist. Momentan ist er eben nicht nur Gründer, sondern auch Präsident der Polizei für Freiheit. Sie haben ungefähr 200 Partner, also 200 Mitglieder und noch 40 Kooperationspartner. Mhm. Und ich werde ihm jetzt mal kurz per WhatsApp sagen, dass er sich, dass ich die Intro schon gemacht habe. Mhm. Und er sich jetzt mit Mikrofon und Bild freischalten möge, ja?
Sehr gut.
Ahora sí.
Aber wenn es sowas gibt, also wenn es diese Polizei für die Freiheit gibt, dann muss da ja auch irgendein Grund vorhanden sein dafür, dass man sich für die Freiheit ausgerechnet als Polizist für die Freiheit einsetzt. Das muss ja dann bedeuten, dass jedenfalls er und vielleicht auch, Sie sagen, 200 Mitglieder hat die ganze Truppe, auch andere Leute sich Gedanken um die Freiheit machen. Ist das erst in diesem Zusammenhang, Corona-Zusammenhang so oder ist das schon länger?
Soweit ich weiß, haben sich diese Gruppe jetzt Polizisten für die Freiheit im Rahmen der Corona-Krise gegründet.
Ja.
Und er wird, wir haben vereinbart, dass er, hola Mateo, ya he hecho la introducción, ahora explico dos, tres cosas más y después vamos siguiendo contigo. Also wir haben vereinbart, dass er selber ein bisschen was zur Gründung von der Policías de la Verdad schildern wird und wie er überhaupt darauf gekommen ist und so weiter. Und jetzt eine organisatorische Frage. Ich sehe, Angel ist auch wieder drin. Mhm. Wir haben jetzt zwei Möglichkeiten. Entweder ich übersetze, was der Matteo sagte, direkt auf Deutsch oder der Angel übersetzt es eben auf Englisch. Wie ist es organisatorisch präferiert?
Auf Deutsch, glaube ich, ist besser.
Ja, das kostet sonst auch zu viel Zeit.
Ja.
Okay. Entonces, para Mateo y Ángel, hemos quedado que yo voy a traducir lo que dice Mateo rápidamente en alemán. Pero Ángel, si tú te quieres en línea, estoy agradecido porque a lo mejor alguna cosilla puedes ayudar, ¿ok?
Sí, me quedé a medias que no sé qué pasó con la conexión, se perdió. Estaba solamente compartiendo que en España han impuesto ya, han aprobado la ley de sanidad de Galicia y de Aragón, que es una ley directamente que legaliza la dictadura completamente. Pueden hacer con nosotros lo que quieran.
Esto lo todavía lo hemos escuchado. Si sigues en inglés, más fácil para ellos de entender. Also er wollte gerade sagen noch, dass er gerade was über die Gesetze in Aragón und Galicien gesagt hat. Ich habe ihm gesagt, das haben wir noch mitbekommen. And the consequences, is it already lay or is it still in approbation and maybe we can still prevent it, Angel?
Oh, this law is only waiting to...
It is not in effect yet. It is not in effect yet. It's a draft and it's a proposal, right?
No, no, it's approved. Oh, but they have to implement it. They have to implement.
Okay.
But now it's strictly approved. And after the public demonstration in 23rd of January, I think it was, some people from the Secret Service from Spain, something very, very connected, came to Dr. Natalia Prego and me and other people because they know we are putting in risk our own lives. And he showed us three of these so-called Centro de Aislamiento Infecciosos, Infectious Isolation Centers. Mm-hmm. But walls of concrete with 4 or 5 meters, metal on the top, completely concentration camps.
That's why you call them Auschwitz laws,
where
right?
Where are they?
And in one of the pictures, we saw a cartel, a title called Anti-Globalistas. Mm-hmm. So it was an inner information that he shared with us. He shared with us. So it's a very critical situation all around the world.
Yeah.
I think you have been in Germany, six of these camps prepared, isn't it?
No, I don't think so.
We don't know
if that happens, I think there's going to be a revolution, because even those people who are willing to go along with the government will not go along with that. In particular, if that happens in Germany, because we have a pretty bad history as far as these things are concerned.
Yes, but this is camouflage. This is doing the same function, but in another appearance. I have a video translated from German people, some of the health authorities talking about this. If you don't want to be in your house, maybe you will...
Yeah, yeah. There are rumors and there's propaganda going on like this, but we have to be careful not to believe everything that we're being told, because there's lots of controlled propaganda out there. People who are pretending that they're helping us with new information, but in reality, they're trying to feed us information that is only designed to make us look like idiots if we simply go ahead and repeat it. But I know that there's talk about this. I know that the Bavarian government and some other politicians have talked about this, but I don't think it's been implemented yet. But let me quickly translate this. Also es gibt wohl, sagt jedenfalls, Internierungscamps für Leute, die dagegen sind, Antiglobalisten, das wird ja immer besser. Er sagt, man nennt deshalb da diese Gesetze, diese Impfzwanggesetze, Auschwitzgesetze, weil diese Internierungslager hohe Betonmauern haben mit Stacheldraht oben drüber. Have you seen pictures of these camps?
Yes, we saw pictures.
Uh-huh.
We were few people, but Dr. Natella Prego, me and other few people,
mm-hmm.
very, very close group, and they show us he could not give the original, because in this case they could check the who take these pictures, and maybe he would be in risk.
Okay, we're going to have to take a closer look.
Did he give you some information about the locations?
No, we are trying to, but they are covered in Google Maps. They cover the places.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult. He just shared that they are very, very hidden in very hidden mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Difficult to get, not very easy to get these places.
Okay. Well, we'll need more information about this. Let us switch to our police officer.
Okay, thank you so much for your good work.
Well, thank you very much for being with us.
Just to share an optimistic point, talking with the couple of Dr. Natella Prego, he shared with me a study. I think a sociologist did it. Only with 3.5. of the people doing a pacific resistance, this is the victory, because it is like a very little quantity of salt or yeast in when you are cooking, with a very little quantity, contagious, and
And I think that's correct, Angel, because if you look at the situation right now, it's probably less than 0.00000001% of the population that is trying to keep control of the people of the world right now. So if that's enough to do that trick, we're going to be enough at 3.5%. And we are many more than 3.5%.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Angel.